Double Take is an extension of the award-winning movie review show Cinema Classics, which airs Thursdays at 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Produced and hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and discussion with guests. Double Take is listed by FeedSpot as one of the top 10 movie review podcasts on NPR.
And I love hearing it. I'm John DeSando.
And I'm Mary Urina.
And this is Double Take. Mary, we have a film today. It's in a genre that's just full of movies. And certainly since I've been alive and you've been alive, and you think, doesn't this thriller spy genre ever die? And apparently it doesn't.
It does not. I think since the beginning of the written word and the beginning of cinema, thrillers came. Papers,
yes, yeah.
Spies,
yeah.
All of that has been fodder for the creative mind.
Yeah.
And for our enjoyment.
Yep. And it's called Black Bag. Let's get that out of the way. What is a black bag?
The black bag is what real spies refer to,
yes,
as what they can't talk about. If they're asked about something, oh, that's in the black bag.
Yeah. Even if it's your wife or your husband.
Even if.
And we have two charmers.
Absolutely. And possibly attractive people, both in the spy world, both working for the same agency in Britain, and played by Michael Fassbender and Kate Blanchett.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed at the end they did imbalance their names on the list, because when I first knew about the film as to who was the star, and it's, of course, they're equal. Michael, probably a bit more.
Well, the film opens with us literally following Michael.
Yes.
In fact, we don't even see the face of George until several minutes into the film.
Yes. Yeah.
So we do follow his character quite extensively, but then there's a shift in one scene where all of a sudden Catherine, played by Kate Blanchett, becomes the focus of the film. And then they become equals in the film. So mm-hmm. I thought the crediting was appropriate, given yeah. not only the star power, but also the characters and the representation of their marriage,
yes,
of being equals.
They're both spies, and he's been assigned finding out who had stolen this Severus malware that's going to destroy the world. This is a Hitchcock MacGuffin.
It could have been, but in fact, it probably was not.
But anyway, and that's the thing I like about the film, is that it's mostly dialogue.
It is mostly dialogue.
It's so different.
And very dry humor.
Oh, yes.
Very dry British humor.
Yes, they're both Brits, right? He has got that impossible situation of finding out who these friends of his, the spies, who's the one. Who's
and
the
one
traitor?
Of them is his wife.
And so it takes me into the level that I really like here, which is the relationship between a husband and wife who might be in the same profession, maybe work for the same company. I mean, can you imagine the intricacies of trying to have a healthy relationship and yet being professionally together.
And I actually thought, from an HR policy standpoint, that's inappropriate. But
yeah.
I did read in some interviews post seeing the film, actual spies, retired spies, were interviewed for this. And they said, no, in fact, it's so hard as a spy to date somebody who's not a spy, because
yeah.
they don't understand the black bag. And it's just easier to date somebody in the industry. So that, in fact, is pretty true to life. Mm. And in this case, we have amongst the five other characters, or four other characters, they are in fact coupled.
Oh, they're coupled all over the place. Right.
Yeah, in various stages of coupleness.
Proving your thesis. They just have to date each other. Much of this, well, not much of it, but there's a heavy sexual innuendo part of this film. Though I even read somebody who was complaining there wasn't sex.
There is not sex, but it is a sexy film.
Yeah, yeah.
Mostly, I think, because of the dialogue, as you pointed
yes.
out.
Oh.
There are a couple scenes where early in the film we see Kate Blanchett getting dressed for the first dinner party with the suspects around the table. Her husband is quietly watching her. Now, he's watching her because she's his wife, but he's just found out in setting up this dinner party that she's one of the potential suspects of the mole and the leak for this Severus
yes.
device. You can see, without much dialogue on his part at that point, you're wondering, is he observing her because he now has to suspect her, or is he observing her because it's a natural part of their relationship?
I went with the latter because I had the same thoughts, and she was putting on a show for him. Fine looking woman at whatever age she is.
I know, she's 55 years old.
No,
and she looks amazing.
I wondered if that was all her or whether they had superimposed somebody, but it looked like her.
I think it was her.
And she's just, she can play any role. And so she is playing the femme fatale here for him. And there are various things that happen that are not intricate at all, like the movie stub in the bag.
Yeah.
Or like him putting his ID in her bag when she went to work, and he had to get a temporary. And I can't figure that one out yet. There's this little stuff in there that looks like it's spy movie stuff, but it's actually Steven Soderbergh having a good time with us.
I think so, too. He directed the film, and it was written by a longtime colleague of his, David Koepp.
Yes.
During the pandemic, it was an idea that David apparently had had for many, many years, and when the pandemic rolled around and then was followed by the writer's strike, he was working on this as his own project without deadline. The only director he sent it to was Steven Soderbergh, and Steven said yes. So we are the beneficiary of that partnership. Yeah. And also, I think Steven Soderbergh's style of shooting a film, he does a lot of the camera work himself.
Oh, he does, yes.
And the editing, and he doesn't do a lot of rehearsal. And this film, David Koepp admits, has two long dinner table scenes.
I wanted, Mary, when that they had the first dinner table scene, I said, I need to go back to this. I just didn't want to miss a moment of that dialogue, because I knew it was very cool dialogue.
It was very cool dialogue, building up the tension. Oh. The writer said that it was like a 12 or 14 pages of a 100-page script.
Yeah, yeah.
Each of those scenes, because they're so pivotal to positioning the characters and positioning George and Catherine. In fact, Steven Soderbergh cut a hole in the middle of the table. I don't know whether it was the first scene or the second scene, so that he could hold the camera and actually be face on to all the actors as they talk. Those were the only scenes that they really rehearsed, because as a director, he likes things to be very fresh. And so because of having to stage that tight scene twice, once it's set up with this beautiful meal and ton of lights on the table, the next time they arrive, when we get towards the climax, the table is like completely bare. You are not there for any type of camaraderie or casual social entertainment. So
yeah, and you mentioned the cinematography, which is really his. On that first scene, that long tracking shot that
we're following George.
The most famous of those is from Casino.
Yeah.
And which is a long shot, I think, going into the casino. And I always mused by that point of view. You're actually really seeing what the character is seeing as it goes through. If it's done right, it's very powerful. And Soderbergh surely paying homage to that, really in a tradition of fine filmmaking. I knew I was in for a good treat with that. But
well, and he returned to it again later when George going into the office, and we follow him on his journey into the office and getting a sense of what this spy enterprise in Britain is like.
But the shot is similar. There's one in Working Girl with Sigourney Weaver in which they track her coming into work, and she's such a powerful leader in this business that the camera catches her, not only her height, but just makes it just the right angle to make everybody just absolutely afraid of her as a boss. Yeah, you know, and even when I was writing my review, I opened with the idea that I don't care who did it in this movie.
Want to enjoy the ride.
I do. You are so right. I just want to enjoy. I want to have dinner with these people. And eventually, I don't really care who did it. It got really confusing. But I tell you one thing, too, that I saw. This is just a side note. Tom Burke is one of the four.
Yeah, he plays Freddy. Yeah.
And he played Orson Welles a few years ago. Mm-hmm. He did the best Welles I have ever see. It was called Orson and Me or something. I just love that character, and I love his face, but then I love them all in their choice.
Well, this is a very stylistic film there's a lot to enjoy in the British dry humor. And I actually did want to know who did it. I was intrigued enough. And it's a very fast-paced film. The film itself is only about an hour and a half.
Yes.
Playing widely at lots of cinemas. And I think it's definitely worth a trip to the cinema to enjoy.
And I think anybody in the family, don't you? You think it's too demanding for younger?
How young?
I don't know. I always think 10, 11 is ready to go with my kids. So anyway, it's called...
I'll go with you on that.
All right, Black Bag. And see it before it leaves, because it is a beautifully photographed.
It
you
is.
Don't want to see that on a small screen.
Very high style film. Much to enjoy.
Well, we're still on Black Bag, Mary. And this is a spy thriller. Not to be confused with Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Not to be confused at all. The only commonality, I think, is the state of the marriage, or that they're married, not even the state of the marriage.
I mean, it really does show the difference between Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie and then Michael Fassbender and Cate Blanchett. There is a gradation of greatness that separates those two couples.
I would agree. And interestingly, I think it's positioned as a thriller.
Yes.
But as it evolves, the focus of the film really becomes their marriage.
Yes.
And the strength of their marriage. And they say to each other they'd be willing to kill for each other. And the question becomes, will they?
Yes.
The tension that builds from that is just wonderful. And because of the great characters and the directing and the writing of this film, it's very tight. It's very neat. It's high style with two high style actors that part is played up. In fact, the glasses you're wearing remind me of George's glasses.
And don't they? And Soderbergh makes sure you see that.
Yes.
And they dominate.
Yes.
It's interesting.
It's part of the character.
Yeah. Fassbender can play a tight-lipped film a few years ago called The Killer, in which he was the central character. Talk about being tight and compulsive. And Fassbender has that down. Just right.
Well, and it's so appropriate for the role of George because of the business that he's in. He's a spy. So I get the sense he's more of an analyst in the scheme of things.
Yes, yes.
And he does not tolerate liars.
I know. He says,
so he studies people and really hyper focuses. And so he's a man of fewer words because he's always studying and analyzing others.
As they're trying to find who the mole is among them as they're having their dinner, he's actually laced their drinks with a truth serum.
Yes.
What a great touch. And so they're all blabbermouthing.
But they're blabbermouthing about their relationships with each other, which is pretty funny. Especially the way one of the conversations ends for the evening, which I don't want to give away anything.
Mary, I can hear some of my less cinematic-leaning friends complaining that this is not Bourne.
You mean not Jason Bourne?
Yes.
Well, I don't think Jason had much of a sense of humor. But I will say, as we go into talking about other classic spy thrillers, and I thought about what other really great spy thrillers did I like? I really did like the Jason Bourne series.
I did too, but there was so much locale and so much movement in those. It's quite a bit different from this.
And violence.
Yeah.
As well. Yeah. This very different, but still a great story to get engrossed and engaged in.
Yes.
But I also thought, watching it, that there are some really great classic spy thrillers that are in that high style, most notably North by Northwest.
Oh, I agree with
you. Cary Grant's suit is high style enough through that entire film, and him in the suit.
Has the suit in Black Bag?
Oh, Michael Fassbender. Well, and then Pierce Brosnan.
Oh, Pierce Brosnan just dazzles.
Yes.
And his double-breasted.
And I had to do a double take because they really made him up in his role, which we don't see him till much later in the film. He looks so much older than he actually, when you see him in real-life photos, they really made him up. I had to do a double take and go, I think that's Pierce Brosnan. And then, indeed, it was.
And we mentioned George's glasses. The glasses for Pierce Brosnan. Now, he's the big boss.
He is the big boss. Stiglitz, I think his name is. Stiglitz?
Yes.
Stiglitz.
He has glasses that have sharp edges up at the top. Mm-hmm. They're just perfect for the sharp-edged character that he plays. And Soderbergh angles the camera to make him look even taller than he is.
Yes.
So he's quite imposing, but a delight to watch. So a great choice. And Brosnan is clearly enjoying himself since he's been in four or five of the Bond films.
Yes.
Now, Mary, that brings up something I wanted to ask you. Bond, it's spy, right?
I mean, what's the difference? James Bond, 007, was a spy.
Yeah. But, you know, very little of what he did was spy-like, I thought. He wasn't putting himself in some organization and being a spy or whatever.
Like an infiltrator.
Yeah.
Mole.
Yeah. Or he was a brand. And he even repeats his name twice.
Yes.
I'm Bond, James Bond.
Yes.
And so there's something that's...
Well, he was never undercover.
Right. Exactly. That's my point. Thank you. That nicely. Yeah, he was never... because we were there to see him.
Right. And definitely a lot of those in that whole line, and they continue. I don't know who the next Bond is going to be, but...
Right.
Very high style, very high tech, almost fantastical.
Yes.
And I think what sets Black Bag apart is the dialogue. So that's why I immediately went to North by Northwest, because
yes.
so much of North by Northwest is about the dialogue.
So true, yeah.
And the great humor that Cary Grant's character, Roger Thornhill, delivers in that film. So that's why I felt Black Bag and North by Northwest are two very complimentary classic spy thrillers.
Did you have another one that you...
I did. In addition to the Bourne trilogy that we talked about, mm-hmm. the other... film by Hitchcock from 1946, also with Cary Grant and the great Ingrid Bergman, was Notorious, where this time Ingrid Bergman plays the spy, ends up marrying the Nazi Claude Rains, and her handler is Cary Grant, who comes to her rescue as she's being poisoned to death by her husband and very evil mother-in-law.
Yes, yes, yeah.
But that was also very high style, had that sense of humor, not as much as North by Northwest, but still had that sense of humor. And the love, not a marriage, but the love between Ingrid Bergman's character and Cary Grant's character becomes stronger than the caper that they find themselves in.
In a different way. And something that turned out to be an interesting and thoughtful movie was Argo in 2012.
Yes. I loved that movie.
Did you? Good. Yeah.
I did.
What did you like about it?
Well, one, it's a true story.
Yeah.
And two, to find out the extent to which they developed this operation called Argo to extract those few people who actually escaped the American embassy in Tehran and were being hidden by, I think it was the British ambassador and his wife, in their home. Mm-hmm. And the incredible effort that went into extracting them and how long it took and how they were able to do it. You know, now we're able to know that story. It was pretty incredible.
The major guy, I don't know if it was played by Ben Affleck, but was pretending to be a Hollywood producer.
Yes.
Doing a documentary. That's how they were getting in.
Yes. He was a filmmaker, and he actually had real filmmakers who helped develop the storyboards story.
Yes.
And they aligned it with, I think, a story from the Muslim faith. Or a legend, or some sort of legend from the Iranian culture. It enabled them to have the actual hostages were posing then as the rest of the crew to get them out.
Yeah.
So it was, I love, and that did win a ton of Academy Awards and other awards, including
Best
Picture.
Very surprising to me, and Ben Affleck got Best Director.
I think.
What do you think about the Mission Impossible ones, of which Steven Soderbergh?
He did, I think, the original one.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think I saw it, but honestly, I have not followed it just because I just didn't.
Well, there's very little of the cerebral about that. I mean, it is completely different from the Black Bag.
I found it mostly is about the action and about the special effects.
Yeah. There are parts of that have James Bond as well in it. But when you start getting somebody as glamorous as Bond, you're getting away from the part that you and I love, which is the dialogue, the smartness of it. Just is it. But we even get actors like Robert De Niro, who's still around. My goodness, he's got a film coming up.
He does.
Which he plays.
A mob film.
Yeah, and he plays two parts.
He does.
You know, so this has actually been good, just for good act. I was thinking about Ronan, I think, was the one that he was in.
And yes.
Yeah. And then more recently, and that was in 2015, Mary Bridge of Spies.
Yes.
Yeah. Isn't that
with
a great
Mark
film?
Mark Rylance, and who won the Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor in that role, and Tom Hanks.
Yes.
And it's about the negotiation that goes on to trade prisoners from the spy world between countries. That certainly made my list. And the other, just going back even a few more years, is Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy with Gary Oldman. And Jean Le Carré is the author of the standard of the modern spy novel. And that was a very well done version of probably one of his most famous books.
Look at us. We certainly didn't have difficulty filling in time talking about thrillers, but I need some final comments from you, even perhaps a film that you still haven't talked about, or I don't want to hear after we get done. I should have said, so here you go, Mary.
Which happens a lot. So the one film on my list that we haven't talked about, not surprisingly, maybe had several of the same films, goes back to 1975, 3 Days of the Condor, starring Robert Redford and Faye Dunaway. Again, two very glamorous people in terms of their physical presentation.
Yes.
A tight, smart dialogue film. And in that film in particular, similar to Bridge Black Bag, we don't really know who the bad guy is until the end. And it's a very well done, builds the tension, very good dialogue film.
Yes.
As we follow Robert Redford through his journey of 3 Days of the Condor.
Yes, yes, yeah.
So it reminded me a lot of Black Bag
I think you're right. And in fact, I think the 3 Days of the Condor is just a little bit more glamorous in some ways, a little bit more, has more of the glitz. Yeah, as I remembered it, I was really shocked.
Well, it takes place in New York, so you have the glamour of the big city behind them, and you have the intimate scenes in Faye Dunaway's apartment between the two characters, and it's a wonderful film if you have not seen it.
No.
Also a wonderful film that I recommend that you see.
Yes. Do you have anything to say, recommend, about Black Bag? Because I think there are people who could go in there and think it is Jason Bourne, and it's not, but it has some good qualities of that. What do you advise somebody and say, hey, you need to see this?
One, it's just a high quality film. Cast, writing, directing, the cinematography, and it builds the tension to that whodunit climax. So if you want a good story and enjoy high quality film, go see this in the movie theater, because you'll get the full effect of this type of experience, more so than streaming it on a much smaller device. Yeah.
This advice is coming from people who occupy a spot in the top 10 NPR podcasts.
So you should listen to us. Go see this film, Black Bag, in theaters near you.